This is the Stinking Truth.
I'm feeling a lot better than I'm sure the 49ers and their fans are feeling right now. Mark, if you had to place the 49ers panic level at a certain number, what would it be?
Well, you know, Mike, I think based on that division, still the Rams are beat up. The Rams aren't going anywhere. Arizona is Arizona. You know, they have not won in Arizona back-to-back games since 2021.
The Cardinals. Okay.
They have not won back-to-back games since 2021. What did I say? Did I say that wrong? Arizona.
No, that's right. Arizona? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So, like, they are what they are, right? They're flash. You know what Arizona's like, and Kyler Murray is like, and I got to be careful because I'm doing their game this weekend, but you know what they're like? They're like piping a drive 325 on the 18th, and all of a sudden you're like, damn, that felt good. Man, I'm going back tomorrow. This is awesome, right? And then the next, you know, seven holes you play, you're just shanking it all over the place, taking eights. That's what the Arizona Cardinals feel like to me. They just don't have any consistency at all. So if you look at San Francisco right now, yeah, we're beat up. Yeah, you know, we lost to Kansas City, but in that, Deebo Samuel couldn't show up. He's in the hospital right now with some type of pneumonia. Yep. You know, you look at Brandon Ayuk tore his ACL. They didn't have Juwan Jennings in that game. They couldn't run the football because the Chiefs are awesome at defending the run. Like, I would still look at that and say, listen, we still have a great chance to win this division. Now, we've already beaten Seattle once. Seattle's got a young defense, new head coach, young head coach. Geno Smith is playing really good football right now, but we still have a chance to win this division. I think you throw away, you know, first or second seed in the NFC. But I still think San Francisco's got a great chance to win the division. Juwan Jennings should be back. He's had a hip injury. He should be back this year or this week. I would think he'd come back this week. Deebo might be out until the bye week. But they have this game, then they have next week, and then I believe they're on a bye. And then they start up. So Dallas this week. And then I think, you know, they've got the, maybe it's Dallas and then the bye and they come back to Tampa Bay or something like that.
Yeah, so that's right. That's right.
I think they've got a chance to get healthy here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, I guess the big issue is not so much their ability to win their division. Just as you watch this team, Ayuk now out with the ACL.
Yeah.
Does this look like a team, especially with these now, I mean, it's an issue beating Kansas City. You know, do you feel like this is a team that still is on that short list of Super Bowl contenders?
Tell me, are they going to be healthy toward the end of the season? Offensively, are they going to be healthy toward the end of the season? If you tell me they're going to be healthy toward the end of the season, then I would say, yeah, they've got a chance if they win that division to get in. I mean, I think there's no question about that. So that would be my takeaway. Like, right now, are they playing well enough to do that? Absolutely not. They're not playing well enough to do that right now. But if they're healthy toward the end of the season, listen, Juwan Jennings to me is one of their top, just quote unquote, football players. As a wide receiver, I think he does everything well. He'll block. He makes ridiculous catches. Like, he does a lot of things exceptionally well. So I think Juwan Jennings will fill that role that Brandon Ayuk had. You know, obviously you'll get Deebo back at some point. So I think that's, you know, Deebo will be back. He'll be healthy. You know, Kittle and Juszczyk. This comes down, like, Mike, I would say this. Like, I think it comes down here in the next couple of weeks as you're trying to survive. And Dallas is no great shakes, right? They can't defend the run or any of that stuff. But I think it really comes down to Kyle Shanahan. How do you adjust your offense? How do you create opportunities for your quarterback? And how do you create offense when your offensive structure and the players that execute that offensive structure are not available to you? Right. Like, we have to watch you kind of manipulate and change and do those things. And listen, man, we always talk about these great coaches in the National Football League and how they, you know, oh, man, this guy changes offense and this guy changes this and this guy is amazing. How did the Miami Dolphins look without Tua? Mm-hmm. How's Coach Capri Pants? How's that offense that, oh my gosh, the motions and the speed and the, you know, athleticism and, oh, they're setting on, like, they're creating new offense and, man, they look great. What do they score? About 12 points a game without Tua? Mm-hmm. Is that what they score? So, you know, let's, like I always say, man, football and genius are mutually exclusive events. You don't play or coach in the league if you're a genius. You don't. We're a bunch of PE majors, for crying out loud, right? I always think about, how did football get invented? Well, a couple of guys, you know, got a pizza, had some beers, got drunk, got their crayons out and started scribbling on the pizza box. Like, what do we line up over here and we fight for this real estate? And you hit me in the head and then I hit you back in the head. And then eventually we push the ball over the goal line. Sounds good to me. Let's do it. You know, I mean, it's not, there's not a bunch of Mensa candidates playing this game. That's just not how it works.
Well, you mentioned Tua, you mentioned the Dolphins. Let's jump right into that one. You're going to be calling the Dolphins and Arizona this week, and it does look like Tua will not only be cleared to play, but will play. And I'm just kind of curious because he was asked about, you know, the risks of coming back and the concussion history that he has had. And I'm sure he's had people who have told him, hey, you gotta watch out for your health. You should never play again. You've had plenty of people weighing in on what Tua should do. Tua said, hey, I have the information. I'm ready to, you know, risk the odds, I guess, play the odds of continuing to play. Is it really up to any of us to have an opinion about what Tua should or should not do?
No, I mean, it's, you know, it's what he wants to do. And listen, like, you're a football player. You play football. You're passionate about it. They pay you handsomely to do it. And it's what you work your whole life to do. Like, I always look back at how fortunate am I? I lived out a childhood dream I had since the time I was 12. The only thing I ever wanted to be was an NFL football player. Now, did it come with sacrifice? Yep. Did it come with pain and anguish? Yep. Did it come, you know, with injury and heartache and all those things? Absolutely. Like, that's part of it. That's part of the journey of being able to play. And if Tua wants to play, like, God bless him. You know, and everybody will stand on the soapbox and go, well, you know, you had knee injuries and back injuries and blah, 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 blah. You weren't dealing with head trauma. Oh, sure I did. Like, I knocked myself out plenty. But the bottom line is that, like, he knows the risk. He has talked to the experts. Mm-hmm. They have informed him of what the potential risks are. And we all live with those risks, and we all suffer some of those risks. And so the bottom line is he looks at it from his own, like, his own personal kind of agenda, his own personal perspective, and says, it's worth the risk to me.
Yeah.
I want to play. And God bless him, man. That's like, I don't live my life like, oh my gosh, what if this happens? And ooh, the fear of this. And you know, I go back to, you know, the only thing I really know is 80s music, right? And there's a line from the Psychedelic Furs, and that line says, you know, you can never win or lose if you don't run the race. I want to find out if I'm good enough. I'm going to run the race. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I suck. Like, maybe I'm just not very good. But damn it, I'm gonna try, and I'm going to run the race, and I appreciate that about Tua.
I think back to when you played, and even it wasn't that long ago that plenty of players played without really understanding what concussions were, what they could do to you, what mm-hmm. they could mean. And we still don't know the definitive word on it, but we do know a lot more. And so as long as you're informed, as long as you have an informed decision to make, then it's your decision.
Sure.
It's your call, and it and there's no room for me, you, or anybody else out there. You know, I'm sure that I saw it after the last Tua concussion. There were plenty of people who were writing articles and going on their soapboxes, Tua should never play again. Well, he knows the risks, and as long as he knows the risks, then hey, that's his call. That's
yeah, 100%, man. He knows what he's getting himself into, and ultimately, you know, ultimately. None of us know what the future holds, Mike. None of us do. And so, listen, man, I look forward to calling the game. I hope he stays healthy. I hope he doesn't have any more trauma. I hope he doesn't get hit in the head. I hope he doesn't have another concussion. But this is the way it is. This is the game. And all of us walk willingly one step in front of another. We all walk willingly into knowing that, hey, man, if you play this game, you're going to do irreparable damage to your body.
I'll tell you
it's worth it to all of us.
From a football standpoint, I know you've already started looking at the film. The Dolphins with Tua, the Dolphins these last few weeks without Tua. Boy, if you want to talk about making a case for just how important Tua is and why that contract he signed might be worth it, just put the film on, right?
Yeah, his ability to throw guys, you know, throw anticipatory throws and throw guys open and do the things that Tua does. You know, in 3 years with Mike McDaniels, he's got the quickest snap to release time in football, about 2.5 seconds, Mike, snap to release time. So it's the quickest in football. They use more motion and shift than anybody in football. They're a timing and rhythm offense. Right. They want to snap. They want to motion. You snap the ball at a certain place to get leverage on your receiver versus their DB that's coming across a formation with you, trying to cover you. They do it better than anybody else. And guess what? Without Tua, they're scoring about 12, 13 points a game. Right. I mean, it's a completely different look. So they're excited to get him back. He definitely, you know, he definitely creates an opportunity for this offense to explode, this offense to have some success. And so, yeah, he's a very valuable component to what they do on the offensive side of the ball because, you know, with Waddle and with Tyreek Hill and all the guys they have, man, they're a super, super talented football team. Now, they lost some of their offensive linemen to free agency and everything else, but they're a really talented football team, and they just need somebody at the controls that is operating this offense the way it should be operated. And it's, like I said, it's little things with rhythm and timing. Like one thing about rhythm and timing and rhythmic offense is that when you get out of rhythm, like it's almost impossible to get back in. Like they're not gonna line up in heavy personnel and just cram it down your throat for a series or two to get themselves back in a rhythm. You're gonna have to have a quarterback and you're gonna have to have receivers that catch the ball, break a tackle, make somebody miss, and get you back into that flow, back into that rhythm. And without Tua, it's just been, I mean, it's been hard to watch. It's been awful.